All right, Bobby Burton on Texas. I was joking, but no, not a joke. You survived Archmania. I can't remember the last time I saw something like that. I don't know if I've ever seen something like that at Media Days.
Really?
Of course, I wasn't here for Manziel or Tebow or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I mean, I can see the Tebow or the Manziel kind of thing happening. I stayed out of it. I had one of our guys recorded it for us so we could hear him. But I think that it's really a combining together of several different aspects. Right, you have the Manning name, first of all, which is, you know, as I will say this, as a Texas guy, you didn't know that the Manning name carried that much weight in the Deep South and the Southeast, and now you get a clearer understanding of that, so that's interesting to us.
The first family of the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, that's that you get that feel, right? And I didn't know that.
I'll be honest with you, Bobby, when he commit to Texas, I'm pretty sure the move to the SEC had not been announced. I felt disappointed. I was like, he's not going to play in the SEC. That doesn't make any sense. So, but maybe he must have known something.
He may have known.
You never know. The people that are above our pay grade know things that we don't necessarily know at times. Yeah.
How far out did you start hearing rumors Texas joining?
I did not. I mean, it came out of the blue for me personally. Now I knew they were interested in changing conferences because Texas had changed its chairman of the Board of Regents. A guy named Kevin Eltife came into the University of Texas, and I felt like I learned pretty quickly that Kevin wanted to do things not to shake things up, but he had a certain vision for the University of Texas that didn't necessarily fit the visions that came before him, and not in a rude way or not an inconsiderate way or disrespectful, but like one of the first things he did was let go of Tom Herman. And Tom Herman, he was not a good football coach at the University of Texas. He's okay. He wasn't horrible, but he's just okay.
Beat Georgia. That's the only thing.
Well, they finished. Look, Kevin Eltife fired Tom Herman when he was 7-3. That's not usually a fireable record. Y'all agree with me? But Kevin Eltife had watched Tom Herman over a period of time and said, I don't think he can get us to where we want to go. And it wasn't just this hair trigger reaction. And so he took – that's a big step if you think about it as a chair of a Board of Regents. And obviously Chris Del Conte played some role in that as well. But so he's willing – to take the big bets. Going to the SEC was not just, it's not a 5-year bet on a coach. That's even another level of bet, right? And I think that leadership allowed for that. I did not hear behind the scenes, I had heard a little bit that they were willing to change conferences and affiliations and et cetera. I do think that some Texas fans at a long period of time thought, if they go to a different conference, they'll probably go to the Big Ten because that's a big state school, and the Big Ten has a bunch of academically minded schools like Michigan and that kind of stuff. And but ultimately, I think they made a great decision, and it's been a hell of a ride for Texas fans.
Has it been kind of like you expected though, coming over here? I mean, you were doing Big 12 days, and I would say Texas and Oklahoma were it. And then you come over here, and there's Georgia, and there's Bama.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And I'm also, like, a lot of people don't understand this. Like, Texas football people, they are Texas fans. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But they love football, period. I mean, they were watching Georgia, Alabama. I mean, they were watching Tennessee, Florida. They weren't LSU, whoever. You know, they weren't ignorant of college football. Right. And so for me personally, as someone that's covered it professionally, the Big 12 media days is a little bit, I mean, it's like a circus a little bit, no offense, with Brett Yarmark. I mean, he's the carnival barker that, you know, is out there leading, rallying the troops. And
yeah,
the SEC is so much different. not only in the just sheer volume of this digital drive, I guess they're instead of radio row, they call it now. I mean, there's five times the number of people here for this portion of the SEC compared to what the Big 12 does. I mean, last time I went to Radio Row at Big 12, it had 12 tables. I mean, what do they have? I'm table 113, I think. So, I mean, you know what I mean?
How many days is it? Is it 1 day or 2 days?
It's 2 days.
Oh, it all makes sense, Shane, because this is day three. Bobby came over here. He looked half dead. He's not used to day three and four.
I am half dead. I mean, yesterday was a hell of a day for the Longhorns, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's right where I wanted to ask you, because yesterday was Georgia Day. It was obviously also Texas Day. Arch Manning came down to Georgia and Texas. Five-star lineman just flipped from Georgia to Texas. Is it a coincidence that that happened on the same day Texas and Georgia are here?
There are very few coincidences in life. I do think that there's something to be said about that. The one that I think probably stung Georgia fans actually more than the defensive lineman, even though that was obviously big for University of Texas because they needed help on the interior, and James Johnson's a terrific player. Tyler Atkinson, the linebacker out of Grayson, Georgia, number one linebacker in the country, but depending on who you listen to as far as rankings, but certainly one up there, maybe the top player overall in the state of Georgia, committed to Texas yesterday. That's the second consecutive year, by the way, the top player in the state of Georgia has signed with Texas. On the same day that Kirby and Sark speak. I agree with you, Mike. I don't think it was – I don't know. I mean, and he did it on the Pat McAfee show, by the way.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Yes. Well, you were probably busy doing this. I think there are very few.
I asked that because is Texas on the verge of overtaking Georgia to be the dominant program in the conference, you think?
No. And I don't think Georgia is the dominant program in the conference right now. This is the difference. Like, what I see right now in the – because before that it was Alabama. And I do think Georgia for 2 years was in that category. Now I'm seeing, I mean, Georgia, Alabama, Texas, LSU sticks their nose in there. Florida's building, I think. Texas.
Tennessee just made the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a – I don't see now – are they the ones you have to knock off the block? Yeah, they won the SEC championship last year. But I don't see this as a Georgia-dominated conference. And frankly, that is very appealing to, I think, college football fans generally, because when you looked at the Big 12, y'all were just talking about the Big 12. What was the first two teams y'all thought of when you thought of the Big 12?
The only two teams, Oklahoma and Texas.
Okay. So even though TCU went to the college football playoffs, even though – I don't know, Kansas State's been good here. I mean, you still only thought of Texas, Oklahoma. Now you think of the SEC, you don't just think of Georgia. You think of Tennessee or, I mean, LSU or Ole Miss now with Lane Kiffin. It's just different. And I think it's for Texas fans, I'm speaking, don't want to put their words in whatever the saying is.
We know what you're saying.
Yeah. I feel like Texas fans enjoy that. Like, they want to be challenged a little bit. You don't want to just be the big dog and you're just looking over at OU and that's the only game you're looking forward to every year. That was 10 years. That was boring. I mean, what really, when Nebraska went off the schedule, when A&M went off the schedule, I mean, Missouri, yeah. But when those went off the schedule, it was like, man, we're playing in the desert. Because, I mean, Texas fans don't get up. Texas Tech fans get up for Texas. Baylor fans get up for Texas. TCU fans get up for Texas. Texas doesn't really get up for those. And not that they shouldn't, because as a team, but the fan base doesn't.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, speaking of Texas fans, because I think it would piss me off. I've got a football team that's made the playoff 2 years in a row, and the narrative is that Texas got an easy schedule, and when you look at it, hell, the first SEC game they have at home is in November, and it's Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Texas A&M. I mean, what is the narrative down there? Obviously you're going to run this thing, but how pissed off are the fans that that's the lineup they have at home?
They're not. I mean, A&M's at home. Look, they go to Georgia, they go to Florida, they go to Kentucky, they go to Mississippi State, they go to Ohio State in the preseason. This is an exciting season for Texas football from a fan perspective. I mean, Texas has never been to the Swamp before. Texas has never been – I don't think they've been to Georgia before. They'd only ever played in Atlanta, like back in 1920 before last year. So my point on all this for you guys is Texas and what do they say about, oh, well, they had an easy schedule. Give me a break. I mean, Alabama lost to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, who Texas beat both. Don't give me that. Florida, well, they were up. Texas was up 42-0 at half. I mean, you know, you can say schedule this, schedule that. Texas plays Tennessee last year. Texas beats the shit out of Tennessee, Mike. Sorry.
No way. No way.
Slam that running back up the middle of the field against four draft picks, and good luck, buddy.
Hey, speaking of that defense, I mean, I kind of kid, but not really. This really was Arch Mania. He's the story. But by the end of the season, what's the bigger story, Arch Manning or that Texas defense again?
Ooh. I think people have outsized expectations on Arch, so you make a great point. And Texas's defense is very, very capable. The question I have for Texas's defense, more than replacing an Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton, Baron Sorrell, all draft picks on the front four and then the front seven, is this. They were so good in the secondary last year. At Jahdae Barron, first-round pick, Thorpe winner, right? He was also a three-year starter and a very cerebral player. Like, he wasn't necessarily a first-round draft pick just on his athleticism, right? He's a cerebral player. Andrew Makuba, who came over from Clemson, was a four-year starter. He started 3 years at Clemson, then came and started at Texas for his fourth year. He went in the second round to the Super Bowl champs. Those two guys talk and were – great communicators. Y'all have seen secondaries that had a lot of raw talent and then sucked, right? We've seen that too. I mean, at Texas, we've seen Texas have a lot of defensive backs that are going to go to the NFL, but then they just, as a secondary, they didn't gel.
I thought he was going to take a shot at A&M there in their secondary last year. That was a golden opportunity.
I didn't pick, you can't pick any one part of that team last year that is... You know,
it's got Billy Lucci's over there.
I was talking to Billy this morning at breakfast, and you know, no offense to A&M last year, but they didn't score an offensive point against Texas. They've got issues on offense that we'll see if they can get through this year. I think Mike Elko will have a better defense. I think everybody agrees with that. How much better is a good question, though.
What's your early thoughts on this Ohio State matchup?
Oof. Two new quarterbacks, two new offensive lines for both of them. By the way, Ohio State loses all of them. Texas lose four or five. One team had 13 draft picks, the other had 12. This is a different game. Some of the same faces, but not many. I think it's a toss-up. I will say that Texas plays at 11 o'clock. It's probably good they don't play at 7 o'clock. You know what I mean? That's probably a good thing. But we'll see.
But they're scared to play on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that was it. Scared to play on Sunday. I tell you what, Texas is already playing, going up there and has the national television. But let's move it to Sunday. By the way, Texas moves it to Sunday. Guess who that pisses off is ESPN, who's the television partner. So they're going to just go make more money for Fox and not make any more money for themselves.
Which game do you think Texas fans want more, Ohio State, which last team that beat you, or Georgia?
Oh, Georgia. Yeah. Y'all's point earlier was really good in that Georgia is kind of the 800-pound griller. At least they've been the overlord for the last – but they're – you know, you question whether or not Kirby's going to keep that
There's always that team you got to get over.
Yeah.
Georgia had to get over Bama. Tennessee's got to get over Georgia. Texas now got to get over Georgia. There's always that team. Ohio State, Michigan, there's always that team.
Good point. I think that's a really, really good way to put it because, I mean, nobody else really that they played last year came particularly close in the SEC. So, yeah.
Is there any concerns with this Texas team? Like, if you're looking at if we don't win or if we don't make the college football playoffs, it's because this happened. What's your biggest concern with the Longhorns right now?
Arch Manning. You know, he's gifted now. I mean, I don't know what you have and haven't seen, but he's also inexperienced. So he throws two picks in the fourth quarter. It's football. You know what I mean? That's one loss. You play Ohio State, it doesn't matter how well Arch Manning plays necessarily at some level. That could still be a loss. You play Georgia, that could still be. You play Florida, I think, on the road.
First conference.
Yeah.
I think Florida's going to be much. He doesn't. I think they will be.
So I'm on board with, no offense, Shane. I'm on board with Mike. I think Florida, if Lagway is healthy, like I'm a little concerned about his arm apparently, but I love Jaden Ball. Like I think he's a bad dude as a running back. And I think they have more talent on defense. If they can kind of get their head around defense, maybe, I think they'll be good. But their interior offensive line is really good too, Mike. Which, adding that with being able to run Jaden Ball and those inside zone plays, and then Lagway has the arm over the top. He throws a pretty deep ball too, by the way. He's not that is his throw. You know what I mean? Like some quarterbacks have superpowers like – you know, Johnny Manziel can run around. And Derek Lagway, his superpower is the deep ball, in my opinion. And that fits really well with jamming it up the middle with the Jaden Ball.
Shane's just got a little too much Tennessee in him to believe in Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Hey, we just had David Cutcliffe on our show.
Yeah, great guy.
What a – you know what he said? I mean, I hope I don't bother y'all talking about this, but he said that his first experience with the Mannings – was when he himself was a recruit, and he went to go see Alabama play Ole Miss, and Archie Manning, the grandfather, was playing and put up like 430 something yards passing back in the 60s when nobody did that, and David was there as a recruit for Alabama, so David went down on the field and they were leading him all around and stuff. I took off for the Ole Miss locker room. And that was his first interaction, he said, with the Mannings. And, what a good guy, dude.
I could be wrong about this, but I think that was one of the first nationally televised college football games.
Oh, really?
And they didn't do it back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said it was like 33-32 or something was the final score, 32-31.
Man, you talk about a guy that hangs out with the Mannings, you know. I mean, he was telling me that Peyton was in Spain with his kid, you know. I was like, he's Oklahoma kid. It's funny because we're coming down the elevator. Some of these young Oklahoma guys got in there. I was like, they have no clue. Living legend sitting right there, you know. And I watch Radio Row. You know, it's been 4 years since we've been here. And it's kind of wild, the transition of media. You know, when I first got here, it was all radio. It was all, you know, things for the news and whatnot. Now it's kind of shifted as pod, a lot more younger people running around, but true legend still roaming these halls, and he's one of them. I gave him a hard time. I asked him. I went to an offensive line camp, and I'll never forget. He came up
at Tennessee.
Okay. Says, yeah. Well, yeah. So I was sophomore year in high school. And he came up to me and he started talking and stuff. And actually, I came up to him. And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, we offered a boy in your small. Like, he knew every small town that was around there. And it just meant a lot because how authentic he was. So, yeah.
No, he's old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, like no, that. Salt of the earth.
Yeah.
That kind of guy.
Do you have a lot of alumni come back? And, you know, now that Sark's had this success. I mean, do you have a lot of some of those older guys coming back and, you know, helping out the program?
Yes, is the short answer. The interesting ones right now are guys like Michael Huff. I don't know if y'all remember him or not. Thorpe Winter. He's on staff at Texas. Derek Johnson, the former linebacker, he actually worked out Tyler Atkinson at some point this summer down there in Austin because he's part of the Tyler Atkinson's NIL piece is part of this broad thing that all the big time players go to and stuff. And so, yes, they do. And it's welcome. Texas is one of those schools that once you go there, you kind of go there for life, not unlike some schools here, other schools here in the SEC. So, yes, they and Sark does a good job of welcoming those guys and making it their program too. Because, that's one of the reasons why you go to a Texas or a Tennessee or a Florida or a Georgia is that – You want to have I'll give you an example. So you have Jordan Shipley and Jackson Shipley played at Texas, wide receivers, right? And I asked them, why did you choose Texas? And they said, just because whenever you see the shirt, it's just one word, Texas. There's no, it's like one word, Tennessee, one word, Alabama, one word, Florida. Just really straightforward and easy to understand. And so they have – That state pride in Texas is pretty big, too.
All right, Bobby, last thing for you. Really appreciate your time. All our coverage this week at SEC Media Days is brought to you by MyBookie. They're paying our way to be here, so we're asking everybody that we get down here for their MyBookie boldest take of the season. Could be Texas, could be anything SEC. What's your boldest take heading into the season?
Man. Brian Kelly, no more at the end of this year. Is that bold enough?
I love it. I'll book that one.
Look, do y'all not?
If they don't make the playoffs, think he's gone.
I do. Because the expectations and the possibilities at LSU are so strong. And now it doesn't mean he's got a quit. He's got a quarterback. They spent a crap load of money in the portal. They should be better. Their defense has been mediocre for a number of years in a row. Baker's going to get that. My point being, he's the guy that everybody's looking at. Okay, Brian, it's time to we brought you here and paid you a lot of money. We've given you everything you've asked for. It's time to show us what's what. And so if I had a thing that not many people are talking about, he's got this big buyout and all this other stuff. Now, how about if he's 8-4, 8-goodbye. that's my opinion.
All right, Bobby, before you go, can you tell our audience how to follow you and how to find On Texas?
Yeah, absolutely. On Texas Football, we have a YouTube and a podcast companion. Go there, hang out. We have a morning show every morning called Coffee and Football if you're a Longhorn fan. It is very Longhorn centric. I'll grant you all that. So we don't see a lot of Georgia or Alabama fans showing up every day, but they do come in, pop in every so often. So please feel free to join us. It's myself, Jerry Hamilton, and Blake Monroe every morning.
All right. Thank you so much,
Bobby.
Thank
you, man.
Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it.